Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
We are in the fall time. This will be airing. We're already headed, you and I are heading into October, and ahead of the airing of this, which would be the end of, I think it's now the 29th, Wednesday, the 29th of October, which is headed into Halloween. And, you know, as we as we talk about anger and lines of justice, Halloween's a big one. It makes people mad that, you know, does the world, I mean, just per se, does the world cross the line of justice at Halloween?
Interesting. Big time.
And it's interesting because the symbols of, you know, the Halloween is literally symbols of death, symbols of harm, of scare, of fear. And that's it. And it's kind of like we, in a sense, you know, Halloween per se, generally does celebrate the promotion of evil. Okay, now think about that. Who's behind that?
Absolutely the enemy, right?
Yeah. So the enemy is actually encouraging people to use this, even this time, you know, through decorations, through, you know, what they do with the parties and dressing up and et cetera, of promoting evil really as a good thing. And people actually get into it.
Right. And we culturally, we have given it a pass. We don't, I think as a whole, society doesn't recognize actually what they're fully participating in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There was at Michelle's street when she was alive, there was a house that had this elaborate, you know, presentation of evil. Skeletons and, you know, wicked things. And you had to drive by that house to get to Michelle's house. And every time it was like,
you just got the creeps, right?
You got the creeps. And like, you know, how can somebody, you know, think that way? So Halloween's a big deal. If we talk about crossing the line of justice, and we know that they have, and we know it's not to be honored, you know, so, but our kids and grandkids are particularly in grade school. Are part of that happening.
Right.
With, you know, dressing up and, you know, collecting candy and a variety of things, getting exposed to it. So our biggest issue is how do we not fall into it ourselves by either being bitter about it, because it is, and it's not going to change. Actually, it's going to get worse. At the same time, how do we help our kids deal with it in a proper way? And so there is a, you know, like churches, you know, they put on a big celebration where, you know, you dress up in a healthy outfit and then come and collect candy, you know, at something positive, you know, and malls do that too.
Right.
Where you can go and you can go to stores and they'll give out candy and you can, of course, be there with, you know, dressed up as a, in a healthy way. So again, that would be an issue of, you know, we have anger about that. It's going to get deeper and deeper and more sad to us that is promotion of evil. But Father, what would you have us do so that it doesn't take us to remain in that state of bitterness and anger and frustration? And can you give us ways to help our children learn about the difference between good and evil and let it be used in a different way and how they participate in a different way. And we just come to some conclusions about that with our family, with our kids and how we function so that we don't let it, we know it's going to happen. We process what does it look like for us and how can we teach our children that and don't let it, you know, take us to anger. Deep anger. So as we look at these situations, we talked last time about people are going to cross that line of justice that God has set. So that's going to happen. Are we going to be angry? Yes. Our responses can be minimal where, yes, I'm angry, but I'm going to process this well, and I'm not going to let this bother me. Partial, where I'm being affected by that. I'm having a hard time with it. And I've got to move it from the partial back to the minimal and then deal with it from there. Or it's really heavy and deep, what I call complete. And I'm so angry that I can hardly even think about talking to somebody else or processing it or doing something with it. And God says, well, I need to bring that to minimal too, where the minimal, what I call is that you're able to process it for you, get back to freedom, and then I'll tell you what to do with the reconciliation piece of it. So this is our response to this.
Right.
And again, people cross the line of justice. Yep. Can it be severe? Yep. Is it okay? Yes. But how do we, for ourselves, take our response back to minimal, which is my anger gets put in the right place because of forgiveness, which we're going to learn. Okay, so if you would, Romans 12, 9 to 20.
Sure. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah, a lot there. And we'll get into the depth of this later, but what we're trying to say is that I've been harmed. It can be a very severe harm and offense, and the crossing of justice has occurred in a big way, and it really does impact my life. I mean, this really does have consequences for me, either manipulation, control, business scenario where somebody's coming against you and it's going to impact you even financially, relationships with family, friends, churches. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. And we have really been impacted by this. So he says, well, I need to help you move to, in other words, think of with this anger, which is right. I got to move to a healthy place with this anger. So that I know what to do with it in a healthy way. And don't let it cause me to let the devil get a foothold, and I wind up in sin. And I, in essence, join the process of actually having my own anger deepen because of what I'm doing
or not doing.
So it says, be patient in tribulation. It'll be constantly walking with me in prayer. And live life. I want you to keep living life. And he gives an interesting little, what I call a measure of that. And it says, contribute to the needs of others and show hospitality. So if I'm still, I'm in the middle of a deep hurt. And it does impact me and it bothers me.
Right.
And we can't get around that. See, and God says, remember, don't stuff this. Don't push it down. It's going to make it deeper. You're going to have a root of bitterness develop. So don't do that. He said, if you can move it back to minimal meaning I'm free to now let God show me what to do next. He said, you'll have a characteristic. I can still be generous because that's a flow through out of my heart. Oh, I still feel that way. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean I consistently, write that check to the church. That's a good thing. We'll probably still do that. It says, no, I'm talking about your heart.
Right.
When you see something that you can provide somebody else, you freely give it. Okay, you're free. Number two, he says, be hospitable. Okay, can I contribute to, invite people to spend time with them in my place, my hospital home? And I don't let this irritation, this frustration, this hurt keep me from being hospitable. And hospitable isn't, do you still have your small group in your house? No. It's, are you free to enjoy the mm-hmm. fellowship while this deep hurt is going on. See, what happens is we tend to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
well, and in that too, that hospitable, I think, like you said, kind of goes with the generosity, but it's like a generosity of spirit as well, basically. Because when we get too caught up in our own, like you said, we withdraw. Being hospitable is that I am at a healthy enough place in my heart and my walk with God that I can actually see other people, like see them truly, see their needs and see what would bless them. You can be hospitable to them because you are not so self-absorbed, right?
Yeah.
That, and when we're holding too much unforgiveness, we become very self-absorbed.
Right.
And so that goes completely against that.
Yeah. Yeah. So he says, keep staying with me and let me move you to freedom. Let me take this back to minimal of your response. And then he says, don't repay evil anybody. So don't think of what can I do to get back at them or set the thing straight. And everybody does, you know, mm-hmm. your thoughts go to, well, shouldn't I do this about what that person just did against me? Mm-hmm. And shouldn't I? And everybody thinks about it. You all think about it. And he said, while you're thinking about it, which is okay. He said, don't let it carry you into that place where you start to say, wait a minute, that's God's role, not mine. I don't need to take vengeance. I don't need to think about it. He said, if it's possible for you, be at peace with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if it's possible for you where you can offer your peace to somebody else who has greatly hurt you. Now, we haven't even talked about how to do that yet, when to do that yet. We're not talking yet at the moment about the reconciliation process. We'll get to there. And we'll come back to this verse, by the way, as we look at that piece mm-hmm. of it. But we're talking now just about my heart. If it's possible for you, stay in peace. Okay, what does that therefore mean for you? You have to beware.
In the kingdom, walking with God, letting him give you peace.
Yeah, and that's why he says, remember, you're in the kingdom. It's legitimate that you're angry. You have a choice to make. Are you going to let go and take your harshness, your hardness, your reaction? Are you going to take it back to the flesh? And now it's going to impact you in a heavy, deep, deep way. In order for you to get to the place where you can understand what peace looks like, are you going to allow me to take you into the peace of the kingdom, mm-hmm. which is just taking the heaviness of this situation? I'm going to bring it back to minimal for you where you can mm-hmm. say, oh, okay, I don't need to go there. I can go to forgiveness, which we have to learn what that looks like, so that now I'm free to stay in the peace to say, okay, how can I offer that to somebody else mm-hmm. and not let their choices dictate my loss of peace.
Mm, yeah.
And how it looks like, you know, and remember, we're talking about forgiveness and reconciliation. And interesting enough, there can be people, it's kind of funny, who are so entrenched in this that everything offends them, and they always want you to work it through. And I got to resolve it. And I resolve it because I'm always asking you to do what I want. Okay, now mm-hmm. that's not interesting enough. We need to have forgiveness toward that person. you mentioned that before, that this can be a problem. Why, what does that look like? And why is that a problem when somebody in essence appears to be holier than thou and they set the stage of quote righteousness so deep that everything offends them and you always got to work on it?
Yeah. And that's a hard personality type to work with if we're honest. And
yeah.
I think everybody knows somebody in that category that, I call them the overprocessor, where it is beautiful that they want to, and you know, in theory, that they want to bring things to the light and communicate and make sure that things are out there and go to forgiveness, but they tend to actually stay very self-absorbed in all of it. And it becomes the person you walk on eggshells around, because like you said, everything offends them. And then they become the time suckers around you.
Yeah.
Because you are constantly in conversations about what the new offense was. And so it's a difficult personality type to work with and to find the balance of, okay, we are called to step into forgiveness, but it also doesn't look like this, you know?
Yep. Yep. A couple of things you said there is that you wind up walking on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now think about that. Why do you walk on eggshells around somebody?
Because you know that they offend easily and about things that you wouldn't even consider offensive.
Right, right. And so you basically stop your normal healthy relationship for the sake of trying to keep peace with somebody that easily calls you on something because everything offends them.
Right.
And so you walk on eggshells, which is very unhealthy because now you can't be genuine in expressing things. And by the way, if you're walking on eggshells around somebody, is that person in freedom themselves? See, they're not.
No.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
And it's always coming out. And so you actually, it's interesting because you do make a choice. You even talk about it. You know, we talk about it. Hey, Linda, I guess we just need to be careful here and walk on eggshells around that person because this is never going to go in a good place. You know? And by the way, God says, I got to help you resolve that.
Right, right.
Because you're letting them steal your joy, you know. And I had a situation where I was in relationship with somebody, even in helping them grow in Christ. And I made a joke about something that I thought was really funny, and it involved something that they were involved in. And I was just trying to be funny. And I noticed that they didn't laugh, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I just said it and it was funny and that was it. Well, about a month later, I could notice that there was a strain a little bit in the relationship, you know, and I said, is there something that you need to share with me that is bothering you? He said, yeah. He said, actually, there is. He said, you said this thing a month ago and I've been bothered by it ever since. And it really offended me, which was never my intention. And I thought I was just making a funny joke. And I said, oh, gosh, really? So that thing I said, which was supposed to be funny, offended you. I said, yep. He said, okay. I said, I'm so sorry. I did not realize it. That was not my intention.
Right.
I didn't want to say anything about you at all. And so would you accept my apology? And, you know, I'm sorry that I did it and I'll be careful, you know, about it. Well, over the next months, you know, he got angry at other stuff. That I started to notice is that I think you're living with that low level infection and there's something bothering you and you're really upset about a bunch of things. And now you're letting it pop out kind of inappropriately toward, and it wasn't just me. I noticed it with other people that he got angry at them and was offended and wanted them to do something about it.
Right.
Which really was what it was doing was, I don't want you to say stuff and call me on what's going on with me. I don't want to talk about what's going on with me. And so I'm going to use this. And so you got to walk on eggshells, which is like, I noticed it. And it did cause me to walk on eggshells. And I recognized, wait a minute, that's not healthy for me. And it's not really healthy for that person. So Father, what would you have me do? And then we'll talk about later is, okay, how do you, first of all, get back to peace and truth?
Right.
And by the way, we would say, well, by you walking in eggshells, isn't that not sinning? Interesting enough, it may be sinning. Why? Well, because I'm not following what God's asking me to do.
Interesting.
I've decided just so I don't hit the tar baby.
This is the easiest thing to do.
The best thing is never say nothing, you know, and I'm becoming unnatural in my thought life. And so what you're raising up here is that in this whole process of anger and reconciliation and forgiveness is we could actually have people that are pushing so hard on it that it becomes a problem for that relationship. Right. And that itself is a problem. And everybody can relate. I bet everybody in our audience has somebody around them that they've decided, I got to walk on eggshells around that person and be careful. And by the way, it may be an instruction of God is, yeah, I don't want you to engage in something here. And that may be an instruction. But if we've decided on our own and we're living that way without following what God has to say, it's going to impact us and maybe actually contribute to the harm of the other party. So,
yeah, I was going to say often that actually isn't truly walking in love. About, you know, in this passage, let love be without hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy in the love that walks on eggshells.
Yeah. So we got to deal with that. But basically it's, Father, this is a deep hurt, a deep offense. I'm really troubled by it. And he says, well, let me bring you back to minimal so that you have forgiveness and freedom, which allows you then to go to the step of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, we're not talking about, are we going to be fully reconciled? No, this is about my heart. Mm-hmm. Is take me back to shalom, take me back to freedom, take me back to joy, in spite of the depth of this hurt that I'm experiencing, or the frequency I'm seeing it, and they've really crossed my line of justice, and it really impacts me. He said, I don't deny any of that. I'm just talking about your heart. Let me take you back there. And so our goal of first is, I had a reaction, could be deep. Mm-hmm. Remember, it could be already minimal, that's easy. Partial is a little bit harder. Complete or heavy is really hard. Mm-hmm. He said, let me, on all three of those, I can take you back to just a place of freedom, and then I'll tell you what to do next. And it's all based on forgiveness, mm-hmm. which we have to get to. So Father, thank you for the truth of that, that it's real, it's possible. You always want to take us back where, you know what, we're just living life in the joyful life of generosity, vitality, of freedom for us, despite what has just happened to us. And it bothers us. We do get upset about it, particularly if it's continual or something that's deeply unjust. But you say, I can take you there, back to a place of freedom. And it's through this issue of forgiveness first, and then you'll tell us what to do next. And so we pray that we'll learn that, and that the question that we all have is, well, how does that work to get it from that heaviness back to a place of freedom? And we know that you're going to show us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. This is a great conversation to be having right now. Very timely. Listeners, if you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we would love to talk about them. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.